Chapter 22. The silver-haired woman in the van leaned her head against the bulletproof window and closed her eyes. She felt like the world was spinning beneath her. The drugs they'd given her made her feel ill. "I need medical attention," she thought. Even so, the armed guard beside her had strict orders. Her needs were to be ignored until their task had been successfully completed. From the sounds of chaos around her, it was clear that would be no time soon. The dizziness was increasing now, and she was having trouble breathing. As she fought off a new wave of nausea, she wondered how life had managed to deliver her to this surreal crossroads. The answer was too complex to decipher in her current delirious state, but she had no doubt where it had all begun. New York, 2 years ago. She had flown to Manhattan from Geneva, where she was serving as the director of the World Health Organization, a highly coveted and prestigious post that she had held for nearly a decade. A specialist in communicable disease and the epidemiology of epidemics, she had been invited to the UN to deliver a lecture assessing the threat of pandemic disease in third world countries. Her talk had been upbeat and reassuring, outlining several new early detection systems and treatment plans devised by the World Health Organization and others. She had received a standing ovation. Following the lecture, while she was in the hall talking to some lingering academics, a UN employee with a high-level diplomatic badge strode over and interrupted the conversation. "Dr. Sinsky, we have just been contacted by the Council on Foreign Relations. There is someone there who would like to speak to you. A car is waiting outside." Puzzled and a bit unnerved, Dr. Elizabeth Sinsky excused herself and collected her overnight bag. As her limo raced up First Avenue, she began to feel strangely nervous. "The Council on Foreign Relations?" Elizabeth Sinsky, like most, had heard the rumors. Founded in the 1920s as a private think tank, the CFR had among its past membership nearly every Secretary of State, more than a half dozen presidents, a majority of CIA chiefs, senators, judges, as well as dynastic legends with names like Morgan, Rothschild, and Rockefeller. The membership's unparalleled collection of brain power, political influence, and wealth had earned the Council on Foreign Relations the reputation of being the most influential private club on earth. As director of the World Health Organization, Elizabeth was no stranger to rubbing shoulders with the big boys. Her long tenure at WHO, combined with her outspoken nature, had earned her a nod recently from a major news magazine that listed her among its 20 most influential people in the world. "The face of world health," they had written beneath her photo, which Elizabeth found ironic considering she had been such a sick child. Suffering from severe asthma by age 6, she had been treated with a high dose of a promising new drug, the first of the world's glucocorticoids or steroid hormones, which had cured her asthma symptoms in miraculous fashion.